I wanted to read those few verses in Psalm 103, and I was thinking about optimism and pessimism. When you read a psalm of David, like Psalm 103, you think about there were highs and lows in his life, and some of the psalms cover a little of both. But David was somebody that went through a lot with God. God called him a man after his own heart, and he had things that he caused some trouble in his own life, and there's sometimes where God allowed trials in his life. But for all of us, and again, as the testimony said tonight, we have to choose to acknowledge God in our life, to look for his blessings, and that's what these verses remind me of, where it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." He uses that word "all" quite three or four, five times in that little passage that we read. All his benefits, all thy diseases, all thine iniquities. And talks about the God is an all or nothing God, that he forgives all of our sin. He heals all of our diseases. And I'm going to use those little phrases as my outline tonight. So when I get through verse 5, we'll be done. But optimism or pessimism? I like to be realistic, and I try to be optimistic, believe it or not. I've told people around this time of year, Christmas is too commercial and bah humbug. But I love the Christmas season for the Bible reasons, and sometimes I get overwhelmed by stuff and things. I like to put things away. I don't like to get things out. But you got to be optimistic on purpose. I saw a little thing about, is the glass half full or half empty? But how often do we stop and think, just be thankful that there's a glass there at all, whether it's half full or half empty? I'm looking in the mirror. I would count the gray hairs, and I'm going to have another birthday this coming week, and I just thought maybe I'll just start counting the ones that aren't gray, and then pretty soon I'll just be thankful there's any hair there at all, because every time I go get it cut, they always ask me, are you sure you want it that short? And I'm saying, well, just do the best you can with what you have to work with. But that's true for all of us. When you talk about getting older, and it's a blessing to get older, because not everybody has that blessing. Not everybody gets to get older and have all the complaints about it, but it's a blessing. And it's good to be optimistic. And again, we have a lot to be thankful for, as was testified about tonight. We have a lot to be thankful to God for, and God hasn't changed. And if we get far away from him, we can go back to what he prescribes and get back where we should be. He has not moved. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the Bible tells us in this passage, Psalm 103, forget not all his benefits. It reminds us that we shouldn't forget, so we should remind ourselves. The first one, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. It's still true tonight. When we confess, God forgives. The Bible says in 1 John 1:8, I'm going to read verse 8. It says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's that word "all" again. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. I have a lot of conversations with my kids, with other people's kids. We always tease about junior church. But in order to get saved, you have to realize that you're a sinner. And you have to acknowledge it, that you have sin. And sometimes we stumble with that. You know, it's easy, the older we get, to acknowledge that we're a sinner. But sometimes when you're real young, you just hear about all the wickedness in the world, and you think, I'm not that bad. But God forgives all of our sin. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But we got to agree with God. We got to say it's wrong. It's trash. We got to say I want to get rid of it, and God wants to get rid of it. And the Bible, it's still true. God forgives us. He forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth, verse 3, forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. It's still true. God still brings physical healing and spiritual healing. In the book of Luke, Jesus found a book from the prophet Isaiah. It's in Luke chapter 4. It says in verse 17, there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. It's still true that God still brings healing in the physical sense, in the spiritual sense. Sometimes that healing comes in heaven, And sometimes that spiritual healing, we don't get answers to all of our questions here on earth. I know you're talking about young kids have questions. I still have a lot of questions, and I found that we don't get all the answers till we get to heaven. And sometimes God says, I want you to wait. Sometimes he doesn't give us all the answers right away. But we serve a God who is a healer. He's still the healer of every disease. Mentioned a few of them tonight in testimonies. But every now and then we get sick. We get a root of bitterness. We get a feeling of brokenness or brokenheartedness. Like Jesus said, I'm here to heal the brokenhearted. We get a little calloused. We get a little stiff-necked. I tease about it, but we get a little of that Scrooge mentality of that's good for somebody else, but bah humbug, I don't need any of it. We get callous sometimes. We get unforgiving. And when you get sick, you need to go to the doctor. When you get sick, you need to take your medicine. And when you feel that disease in your heart, of whatever it may be, that sin that creeps back in, God still heals every disease. And sometimes we treat God like we treat the doctor, and we say, I'm not going to go back to God until I get really, really sick, until I get into that sin where I can't stand it anymore, then I'll go and confess my sin. Then I'll go and ask for the healing that I need. But when you get sick, go to the physician. Jesus said, talked about it in Mark. And Jesus sat at meat in his house. There were publicans and sinners sat together with him. And the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with the publicans and sinners. And they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? And when Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And again, they were all sinners, but only half of them knew they were. And they were at Jesus' feet because they knew they needed to see the great physician. And Jesus is a healer. God is our healer in the physical sense and in the spiritual sense. And when we get sick, we need to go to the great physician. Some of us know what's wrong with us. We've got the diagnosis. We know the treatment. We know what we need to do. But we don't want to go and we don't want to do what God asks us to do to receive that healing. Jesus, in Romans, Paul talked about it. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And again, Paul talked about it when he said, the good that I would, that I do not. Most of us know, we know what the diagnosis is. We know if that root of bitterness comes into our heart. We know if we get empty and broken. We know if we get calloused or unforgiving. We know we need to get back to the great physician. And God still heals every disease. So it's still true. He forgives our iniquities. He heals our diseases. And it's still true. He redeems our life from destruction. That word redeem, he purchases, ransoms, buys us back. He avenges for us. He redeems us from destruction. He pulls us from the pit, out of the garbage can. He resurrects us from the grave of sin and sets us on the rock. God still redeems us from destruction. In Psalm 18, the Bible says, the Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God that avengeth me and subdueth the people under me. He delivereth me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Again, the psalmist says it's good to praise God when everybody around you is serving God and everybody around you believes in God, but you ought to give thanks to God and praise him among the heathen. You ought to praise him among the people that don't believe in him. You ought to praise him among the people that don't think he's good enough or don't think he can heal or don't think he can forgive. God ought to be praised among the heathen. And if, however you call heathens, you praise God around whoever you think the heathen are, but they need to hear about it too. They need to hear about our Lord, our enemies, and those that are violent that the psalmist talked about. They need to hear praises to God as well. Most of us used to be in that category, and we needed to hear somebody praise God. That's how we got into the trusting Christ. It's still true that God redeems us from destruction. He still pulls us out of that miry pit. He still resurrects our life of sin and gives us hope and gives us belief in him. And bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits, forgiveth thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. And it's still true tonight. I know this, again, this time of year, we just got through Thanksgiving, so we're all sleepy from the turkey. We're getting ready for Christmas. We're trying to get ready for this next month. And there's busyness. There's a lot going on. There's things that you just think you are obligated to be a part of. You got to show up to everything, family, church, everything. You got all these obligations around Christmas time. But remember, all of these things are still true. God still crowns us. And that word crowns us means he surrounds us, encircles us with loving kindness and tender mercies. Like a little child, sometimes Anna will be running around and it seems like she's every direction I need to go. If I'm trying to go over here, she's magically right there. If I'm trying to back up, somehow she's right behind me. She's constantly underfoot. She has me surrounded. And I'm sure if from her perspective, she feels the same way about Daddy. Anytime she's trying to get into a cabinet or pull open the dryer or climb inside the refrigerator, Daddy's right there in the way. We're surrounding each other. We're encircling. We're encamping around each other. And God's the same way with us. Any direction we turn, we try to get away from it, but we're crowned. We're surrounded with his loving kindness, with his tender mercy. We can't get away from it. We can try to live outside of it, but there's constant reminders. God has placed people and things in our life to remind us that his mercy is new every morning, that his loving kindness knows no bounds. We're crowned and surrounded with it. There's no way to get away from it. It's still true that God crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. That word loving kindness means to show mercy and pity, to empathize with others, to have compassion on somebody. Remember how much God loves you. Remember when you were in the miry pit, when you were in the trash can, and God redeemed you. Remember how much he loved you to do that for your life. And we're commanded to show that same love and mercy to other people. The Apostle Paul in Colossians said, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." If we say in our own Christian life, I'm surrounded by God's love, I'm surrounded by God's mercy, what a great feeling. What a great feeling. You can't escape it. Well, there's other people that God has placed in your life that may not understand that as much as you do. They might need to see it modeled. They might need somebody to model forgiveness and somebody to show them loving kindness and somebody to show them mercy and to show them a little bit of the love that God has given to you. Don't be satisfied that it's just surrounding you. Don't be satisfied until it surrounds every relationship that God allows you to have, like God surrounds us with loving kindness and tender mercies. Again, I joke about, you know, kids getting in the way, but it sure is a blessing to have somebody that looks up to you. Sure is a blessing to have people that you know, that know that you love them. And God gave you those relationships. God, you know, Sunday school teachers, grandparents, mom and dad, God gave you those relationships, and he said, I want you to show that love that I've shown to you. I want you to show it to somebody that may not understand it yet. I want you to surround them like I surround you with loving kindness and tender mercy. It's still true. God is the healer. God is the forgiver. And God is the one that surrounds us with loving kindness and tender mercies. And then it's still true. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, healeth all thy diseases, redeemeth thy life from destruction, crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. And then verse 5, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. It's still true. No matter how old you feel or how old you are or how much through trials that you've been through in life, God still satisfies and God still makes all things new. Like the eagle, continually vigorous and active. In 2 Corinthians, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. It was many people testified about it tonight, that we are not done yet. God still has things that he wants to use us to do. We can choose to be discouraged or we can choose to be encouraged, that God trusted us enough to live in this time to represent him to a world that is still lost and dying and that needs him more now than they ever did. And God said, I'm trusting them to you. I'm trusting them in this time. I'm trusting you to be the example that you're supposed to be. I'm trusting you to be the reminder that you're supposed to be. And I'm trusting you to stay vigorous and active like the eagle, even in old age, even until I come back. And then in Revelation 21, he's not finished yet. because God still heals. And it says in Revelation 21, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. That surrounding love and mercy of God, that forgiveness that we experience now and that we'll remember all through eternity, that healing that we need now and that healing that we'll experience through all eternity, it's not over yet. It never will be over because we'll be in heaven someday. Brother Wayne played that song. The ladies played that song tonight. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. It's still true. He still forgives all our iniquities. He still heals all our diseases. He still redeems our life from destruction. He still crowns us and surrounds us with loving kindness and tender mercy. He still satisfies, and he still gives us our youth and our strength renewed like the eagles. I appreciate every testimony tonight. I appreciate every time I get up to preach. Somebody already preached the message in your life. And I just wanted to be a reminder to you about that tonight. If you got a little bit of a disease, you feel it coming on and you haven't been to the great physician, if you got a little root of bitterness, a little unforgiveness or callousness, and say, God, I want to be used by you. I want to be as loving and tender and mercy as you are to me. I want to be that example to somebody else. I need some healing tonight. That's what the altar is for. And we can pray if we confess our sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's pray tonight. If there's something you want to make right before we get into the Christmas season, this is your opportunity. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much as we leave this time of Thanksgiving holiday. Help us to remember to be thankful as we go into a busy season celebrating our Savior. Help us to remember the love and the mercy that you showed to us when you sent Jesus to be our Savior. Help us to be that example to somebody else that we need to be. If there's any root of bitterness, unforgiveness, or anything in our life that we know and you know is holding us back, help us get rid of that tonight before we leave this place so we can be the example of loving tenderness and loving kindness that you need us to be and surround somebody that needs it very much and needs to be reminded each and every day, no matter what direction they go, they have a God that loves them. I pray you bless this invitation. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.